friends, and welcome to episode 74 of Did You Bring the Hummus podcast. I'm Kimberly, your host, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Did You Bring the Hummus is a podcast to help you go vegan. Most importantly, we'll talk about how to embrace this meaningful decision with fervor and fun. Episodes post every Monday on your favorite podcast app. Before we get started, I have one very important question for you. Did you bring the hummus? Today, I am joined by Nancy Leeds Gribble, founder and CEO of Nourish, Lift, Grow. Nancy is a women's wellness and weight loss transformation coach and plant-based culinary nutrition expert. She specializes in empowering women in midlife and beyond with the information and guidance they need for optimal health, weight loss, and body confidence. She believes in and shares how the transformative power of food can heal, support, and build our health and create a body you feel fantastic living in. It's never too late to become the healthiest, fittest, and happiest version of who you want to be. We begin with Nancy's vegan journey, how to start making lasting change. She even helped me understand that macronutrients aren't just for the gym bros, and even touches on some things to consider to help balance out hormones. Nancy shares so many great tips and insights in this episode. You might want to take notes, or maybe listen a second time when you can have a notebook handy. Hey, Nancy, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Welcome.
I'm so excited for our conversation. So let's get right into it.
Let's do it.
Share with me your vegan journey.
Oh my gosh, right? Well, it's not linear and it's not quick. But I will try to nutshell it. So basically growing up, I went vegetarian in my 20s, my very early 20s. So just for frame of reference, I will be 60 this coming year. So it's been a while. And I literally did that when I was younger, always very attached to the animals and the ocean. And I had jumped on the Save the Dolphins and the tuna bandwagon, which put me on the PETA list, right, for their mailing. And I was one night, I hate to say it, I was making chicken and I got a PETA magazine and I opened it up and I saw what factory farming is. And I went, what is this? Mm-hmm. And I sat, I cried, and I said right then and there, I will not be a part of this. Like, that's it. And that minute I went vegetarian. And I say I didn't go vegan because I did still eat some cheese because I hadn't connected that. But it was that part of the journey was rough because back then I constantly took hits and grief. Why was I doing what I was doing? I didn't know what to eat. I had gained quite a bit of weight because I was eating fries and chips and cheese. You know, I was just not eating meat and I never ate seafood. I should have clued me in right away. That was the start of it. Then I probably stayed in that lane for a long time, kind of yo-yo dieting all through that. Then now I would say it's about 17 years ago, I went to a Humane Society convention in DC and I was there and I was listening to the speakers and one of them came out and started talking about dairy. And I was like, wait a minute. Like I don't know with all the things I had read why that connection hadn't hit. But when somebody was very graphically telling me about the dairy farms and the dairy cows, I went, oh, that's it. No more dairy for me. So went vegan right then and there, which wasn't a hard transition because I honestly didn't eat that much cheese, but I was still very unhealthy. I mean, I grew up in the era of be skinny. Like that's your worth. That's it. You don't eat much. Just be skinny. Don't worry about nutrients. So yeah. I was always yo-yoing. I was a constant, like from a 2 to a 12, I could go in any way. Then in 2008, I was a realtor. And at that time, I was just very successful real estate career in Florida. Married and had a 2-year-old. And that year, the whole market crashed. I, in essence, lost everything. But at the same time, my world crashed. My husband had been diagnosed with stage 4 glioblastoma, which is brain cancer. And the next 9 months, we really were trying to figure out everything to do to save his life, really. And I was reading and reading and reading, and I was reading so much about the power of plants. And so that was kind of sealing into me more of the healthy side of being vegan. My husband did pass away. Kind of moving forward there, I then 4 years later met somebody else. We dated, got engaged, and very suddenly he got pancreatic cancer and died. Oh. And that was when it hit me that I can't just be vegan for the animals. I really need to be a healthy vegan. And so that's kind of when I switched to this plant-based vegan and really made sure that 80 to 90% of my dietary intake was whole foods. And then from there, all different things happened and switched careers and da-da-da-da. And here I am. But it was quite a journey as far as, I wouldn't say as far as giving up meat, because that came very, not easy, but I had a firm belief. It was like a no-brainer. But the progress of the being healthy, stabilizing my weight, and all of that was quite long.
Yeah. Wow. That is incredible. And, you know, a lot of heartache. And I just want to take a moment and just hold you in my heart and all the incredible things that you were able to learn through all of this, and you were open and growing, and that's just amazing. And I'm sure it will be an inspiration to the listeners for sure.
Thank you.
So now your focus is on health. And I was on your website and, you know, we chatted of course before this.
Yes.
You work with women who are 50 plus typically, right? Where yes. Hormones are different, and things are just going a different way, right? It's not as easy yeah. as when you were in your 20s or maybe even 30s to kind of maintain or be where you want to be, or maybe lose weight if you want to lose weight. So I'd love to hear about, and selfishly as well, I'd love to hear just about, you know, how you work with your clients and what any tips that you might have for any listeners who might benefit before they come to work with you.
Yeah, I think one is always we have to own our individual journeys. And, you know, understand how we got to where we are, if you're in a place where you're wanting to make a change. And the very first thing, I consider it kind of a flow, is the very first thing before you even get into the how-tos kind of weight loss and health, is you really, really have to seal in your why. I call it, for my ladies in midlife, our midlife manifesto. Like, what do we really have to envision? I sit with them like in my private coaching, and we really discuss what they want this second season of life to look like. And I work with a lot of women in their 40s too. 50 is just a good number. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it just to, because what happens, right? You know, you're working full time, you're doing podcasts, you're busy. Yeah. So we often, everything and everyone becomes more of a priority than we do. And then we hit this point where we look in the mirror and we go, how did I get here? It doesn't always have to be the way you look either. I think this is really important. It could be, I don't look the way I thought I'd look, but mostly maybe I don't feel the way I thought I'd feel. I don't have the energy. I don't have the glow. I don't have the strength that I thought I would have to be able to do these things I think I'm going to do when I'm older. So you really have to get very clear on why you want to change. You have to have a very firm commitment, because I will tell you, It's not easy. Mm-hmm. I'd like to tell everyone it's easy, but if it was, this is my comment, we'd all have the body, the money, and the tan that we wanted. Like, that's that. With no skin cancer tan. And, you know, I mean, so, and it's not easy because of the society we live in. So get clear. Number one, get very clear on why you want this. And it cannot be just because you want to look good in a bathing suit. That will not last. Mm-hmm. My driving reason was I found myself an older mom, almost hitting 50, with a four-year-old who had witnessed and lost two main people in his life. And it was God had entrusted me now that I'm his sole provider. I better get my act together. Yeah. I better get healthy because he deserves a healthy, energetic mom. So that was my main reason. And then as I started to get healthy, as I started to feel better, I kind of was like, well, I kind of want to do this for me too. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's number one, get clear on your why you're doing it. Number two, focus on health first. The weight loss, if that's your goal, will come, but focus on health first, because especially this is a vegan podcast, right? And it's a lot of junk food out there now. Oh, yeah. I was a junk food vegan. I can attest to it. And I was a junk food vegan even when there wasn't as much junk food as there is now. Mm-hmm. And I still managed to be that. It's not a switch from not eating meat to eating processed vegan foods. That's not healthy. So you want to first focus on your health. You want to focus on starting to bring in those whole foods. You can lean into it, right? You can, if one day is all you can do one day. If it's one meal a day, do that. Figure out what works, lean into it. Then if you are ready, then we go into, like, you're like, okay, now I really want to kind of lose the weight, change my body composition, balance my hormones in the right way. And then that's when we teach macronutrients, which are our proteins, our fats, and our carbs. There is a right ratio to be eating these whole foods so that our bodies thrive. And then you can go up a notch with nutritional strategy. So it's like, it's layered, right? Mm-hmm. And it depends on where you're at, where you would fall within the layers. And then you just grow from there. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. I want to ask you. I want to ask about the macronutrients, because I'll be honest. I've only really heard, and maybe I'm just not hearing from the right people. And by hearing, I mean seen on the internet. I've only really heard macronutrients talked about where people are like the gym bros, and they're like talking keto and this kind of stuff. So I think that word can be confusing. It definitely is for me. So I'd love for you to give us a little bit of a breakdown of that as far as it is related to veganism and plant-based foods.
Yeah, I love that. It's such a good question and such a good point to make, right? Because we definitely, I mean, I talk macros and muscles, and people are like, oh, you're a bodybuilder. I'm like, far from it. But they're so important for aging. So our macros, and I didn't know them either. Like I said, I focused on my health first. Mm-hmm. And what that did, stabilized my yo-yo dieting, right? I did lose weight. It stabilized my yo-yo dieting. I was no longer doing that. I was getting healthier, but my body composition wasn't changing. I could work out like anybody, and I'm like, I'm not gaining a single muscle. I'm not, like, my body shape's not changing. I'm not losing that last 10 pounds. Like, what gives? And in my course of studies is when I really started to learn about macronutrients. So all of our food, so we focus on those micronutrients food first, right? That's our whole foods, gives us our vitamins, our minerals, that's our fruits, our veggies, our grains, like think of it that. But then all of our food, everything that we eat is classified as either a protein, a carbohydrate, or a fat. Mm. And what we've learned is that individually, and so I let you know, everybody, but every body needs these in different amounts. And it's based on your activity level, your age, your height, your goals, your current weight, and your lifestyle. And so the amount that I need is different from you. And the reason it plays is important is because our particular bodies need a certain amount of proteins. They're the function of everything in our body. They're our tissues, our cells. They're what help our muscles grow. Everybody needs a certain amount of carbohydrates, which is our body's main source of energy. And then we need a certain amount of fats. And when you get this in the right combination, that is when everything in your body has the optimal chance for thriving. Your hormones balance out, you release fat, you build muscle, your mood improves, your energy improves, your recovery. And so when you learn the exact ratio that's right for you of like how many grams of protein is right for you, how many grams of carbs, how many grams of fat, when you learn this and you start learning how to eat that way, you will see a massive change. This is why you might hear a lot of people say, I go to the gym, I work out every day, I eat healthy, nothing. 2 years, I look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that right ratio, right?
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So basically most women, and this is true, vegan or not, are under eating protein. We now know, you know, there's what you even see the 0.8% that the dietary guideline, that's just to survive. Like we want to do more than survive. We want to thrive. We want to live really well. So when you start eating this way, and you have to track. I mean, if people are like, do I have to track? Yes. Yes, you have to track, but you want to look at tracking as creating awareness. That's all you're doing. You don't have to track in an app if you don't want to. I think that's the best way. You can use your hand as a guide. I teach people how to do that. But anytime you want to make a change, you have to create awareness. So you create the awareness, and you're not going to track for the rest of your life. You're going to track until you have a good grasp on the how the right ratios work for you, and then you don't track. And then if your goals change or something happens, you can come back to it. But it's not a forever thing. And a lot of people are hesitant to track their macronutrients because they feel like it's unnatural. Like, I should just be able to eat. Well, that's not working so well. So let's do this. So that's it. So your macronutrients, every food is categorized as a protein, a fat, or a carbohydrate. That is your macronutrients. And then those foods in the whole food version makes up your micronutrients. And you want both of those in a healthy, balanced diet.
Okay. Thinking about the tracking, how do you, when you're working with a client, if you have someone who has disordered eating and they find that tracking things, whether it's activity or food or sleep, can either become obsessive or creates kind of, it perpetuates more disordered eating. Do you have any tips around that?
Yeah. First, I mean, it's very individual. So, I mean, if I have, that is one of the questions I have on my intake form when I work with somebody, do you have a history of disordered eating? Because anything like tracking, intermittent fasting, carb cycling, anything like that can exasperate it. And so we discuss that. And so if somebody has that and their concern, there's a concern that tracking would do that, we would figure out an alternate way, because most of the time what happens is I would have them take photos of their food. I would just say, eat, I want you to fill half your plate with this, because again, the ultimate goal is I do want them to get, not, it doesn't have to be a spot on, you know, number, but I do want them to get around the right amount. I don't want them to be undernourished in protein and excessive in fats. So I would just say, let's just, you know, just fill your plate and let's take a photo. So I can, I can see. You don't worry about it. I'll see. Right. And then for some people, it actually helps them. I know it sounds weird, but for some people, it's, it lets them see that it, that it's not so bad. Like they're eating this right amount of food. And most, again, most, especially as women age, we start to tend to undereat, or we're overeating and we're undernourished. And with the tracking, it can help you see you can actually eat a fair amount and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Also, if needed, we would have a doctor in the thing. So that's very individual, you know, with the person that I'm working with, but there's ways that it doesn't have to necessarily be like this detailed tracking. It can be more generic, creating an awareness of the food they're eating, instead of very specific tracking.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great that there's options like that.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, and tracking, it's not for everybody. Like, I'm not going to say everybody's like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. But I will say, if you are trying to make a change, you do need to create an awareness of what you're doing now and have a plan for what you're going to do. Yeah. It just makes sense. And tracking is just one of the ways, taking photos of food, doing your plate method. There's so many ways, but for women who are getting ready to hit menopause or in menopause or older, and they're really trying to get their hormones in balance, this is a fantastic way.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I have a little personal experience here around the awareness piece. My husband and I have recently started walking again. We've been very sedentary. It's been a rough couple of years. And one of the things that really fell by the wayside was being active. Yeah. And so we're back to walking, and it just started with, let's go take a walk. And about a week ago, I had an app, like a Map My Walk app on my phone that I hadn't used. Like, it was on one of the pages I almost never go to on the phone. And I happened to scroll past it, and I said, do you think that'll be meaningful for us? And he said, yeah, let's give it a try. And so now we are checking, like, you know, we're seeing, oh, we went a little bit further today, and we're noticing that we're going a little bit faster. Like my legs are a lot shorter than his. So I have to almost go twice as fast to keep up with him. And so we're seeing, like, I'm keeping up with him more often than I'm not. And it has been like a really simple, helpful tool to see, even in this short period of time, these little improvements that are happening, which then just makes you want to keep doing it. Right.
Yes. And then it keeps going. Yeah. Right. Always. Like, first of all, we always celebrate the wins. Like, that's like, because, you know, at the end of the week, when we talk about things with the clients, it's always like, oh, this didn't go well. I'm like, before we go there, what went well? What went well? And we focus on progress, not perfection. And that's progress. And you know progress by tracking something, like, right? Like your steps, how you're feeling, you know, maybe your pants, how are they fitting? Your size, there's something, but measurement of some sort is so good. And it keeps you mentally motivated, and it's how you really make progress. It's the one way. A saying I have is, random gets random. If you're just willy-nilly going from program to program, shiny object syndrome, trying to do this, trying to do that, I'm going to be plant-based, I'm going to be vegan, but I'm just going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and you don't have a plan, then when things hit the fan, as they will in life, and you take a moment, and that you're like, oh, how do I pick back up? What do I do? Like, you don't have this idea of how you keep moving forward. And with weight loss or body composition changes too, everybody hits a plateau. Everybody. Yeah. And it's not about eating less and less and less. You have to really know how to break through those plateaus, and that those plateaus are what usually derail people, because they think they need to just eat less, and it can really mess up your hormones. It can mess up your sleep and your stress and all these things, which all play a part in you not being able to lose weight. Yeah. So with macros, when you know your macronutrients, we learn how to adjust so that you continually make progress. And that's what I think is what I love about it, is it's a plan. It's a very well laid out, like, okay, this is a plan. This is how I can make it fit my lifestyle. I'm not trying to fit it in the beginning. Everything is hard in the beginning. Everything you take your, however you're tracking, you're like, oh, I don't want to do it today. But that's normal, right? Yeah.
So I want to go back to the protein thing, because that's such a thing in the vegan world, right? You run into a family member or a friend who you tell them what you're doing and they're like, where do you get your protein? You mentioned that sometimes we're actually under eating protein, mm-hmm. which then perpetuates this idea for those people that, like, hey, I told you, you're not getting enough protein. So how do we dispel that myth with the people who think, oh my God, you're vegan now, you're plant-based now, you can't possibly be getting enough protein, while also making sure that we're not part of that crowd that maybe we're not under eating to the point that we're getting the diseases that would come from that, but we're under eating where we are still kind of maybe suffering a bit.
Yeah. So I love it that everybody becomes an instant nutritionist once tell them that you're vegan. I'm like, wow, like as you eat your whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. But so the thing with the protein, and I may not have said it clear enough, is most of the women, whether they are vegan or not, that I work with are actually under eating protein. So that is usually the first thing I come back with is, oh, it's not just vegans that could be. It's everybody, all mm-hmm. women, all people that could be, because most people think they eat more than they do. And vegans don't have any of a harder time getting enough protein once you know how. We don't have to food combine. We don't mm-hmm. have to get every little plate and food combine. Everything, you know, you're not seeing many vegans really come out with this big protein deficiency.
Right.
So the amount that we need, again, is really based on your goals. And I have to be very honest. You know, I work with most of the women I work with. I have one that a 21-day program that is strictly like helping them learn to eat more plant-based vegan. But my main program, the one that I have most people, it is a fat loss fitness program. Mm-hmm. So they have a very specific goal. But everybody's protein need is different. We're not hearing the stories of all the vegans being protein deficient. That is such a myth mm-hmm. because people don't understand that you get protein from other things than meat. And that is really all it is. And it's just educating. And it's, you know, tofu, seitan, tempeh, edamame, those are the big ones. Then you have lentils and beans and even your grains. Like, we get it in everything. And when you are tracking, like, you track how much you're getting. I eat probably 120 to 140 grams of protein a day, which is, by some standards for anybody, is a lot. And I don't have a problem. I do one protein powder every day. I'm very honest and upfront with that. I take a protein powder shake every day. But tofu, tempeh, lentils, it all works.
Yeah.
And I feel great. I build muscle, and I'm almost 60 and still building muscle when we're losing it. And so it's just an old kind of urban myth. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how I counteract it. I think it's losing ground. And I think there are so many amazing vegan athletes now, like so many.
Yeah.
It's crazy that you could literally go on Google now and be like, okay. I think a lot of people still have the perception of the malnourished looking person in a tie-dye shirt that looks shallow, like,
right,
you know, from, I don't know, 1960s, who, you know, was just like, I just eat nuts. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's still this, and it's not the case anymore. It's like, you just have to open your eyes and you'll see.
Exactly. Yeah.
People don't want to see, though.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun to make. I mean, it's, unfortunately, it's fun to make fun of the vegan, you know, and be the one who, I think that's probably when I start working with clients, like when I'm working with the ones that are transitioning to being vegan, I'm like, get ready. Even if they're not, people don't mean to be hurtful.
Right.
They can be hurtful. They can start asking you so many questions at dinner that you're like, please just stop.
Right. I'm going to go eat in the closet. Thank you
know,
you
they're
much.
Like, I could never. And it's like, you 100% could, if you knew why.
Right.
Your health, the welfare of animals, our environment, like, it's crazy, the trickle down. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. It's so powerful in all the areas of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Another, when I go back to what's your why, when people would ask me, how was I able to cut out everything literally just like that. And I go, because I absolutely knew there was no way I would be a part of that. And there's something so powerful in knowing that the way you live your life and how you eat, and, you know, if you buy, you know, try to go cruelty-free makeup and all this, something so powerful with knowing that your choices align with your values. And I think that is the greatest intangible gift of being plant-based vegan. Even I have some that, you know, they come in and they're for health, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, I'm just need to learn how to eat different variety of plant-based foods. I have no intention of being vegan. You know, they're not for the animals at all. And then, you know, it starts to trickle in, and then I'll get this call and I'm like, oh, they're like, oh my God, I did this with Farm Sanctuary or whatever. It's so great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, I remember when, I don't say that, but yeah, but it's, you know, but for everybody, it's a process. And I think what's important too, for those of us that are vegan, are plant-based, is to also withhold our judgment from those who aren't, and try to educate in a loving way, not a belittled way. I think you learn through the course of time who's chatting with you to egg you on, and who's chatting with you because they have a genuine curiosity. So I focus my energy on the ones that have a genuine curiosity. If you're just trying to bait me per se, I don't bite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to bite and it hurt everybody. but I don't anymore. And I think, we just all want to like get more people going this way, but we have to understand the journey for everybody.
For sure. Yeah. Most of us weren't born vegan. Some are lucky enough to have that, and I think that as it becomes as more of us are doing it, there are those opportunities for lots of people to be born vegan, and hopefully they'll stay that way.
Yeah.
I remember my story is similar to yours in that I went vegetarian overnight because of a PETA magazine.
Yeah. Oh, and, funny. PETA.
And I was living on like pasta and cheese because I didn't know how to cook and I didn't like vegetables. I had so much to learn.
Yeah.
So when someone is, you know, kind of either like, I can tell they're feeling like they think I'm judging them. Yes. I always try. I go back to that moment. Like when I first made this choice, like it was such a strong conviction. Like, I'm definitely not going to go back to eating that food, but what the hell am I going to eat? And I have so much to learn. And so then I start to share that. and they relax because they're like, oh, okay. Like you're like a normal person. Because some people think that you have to be almost like a superhero in order to go vegan.
Yeah, right. You hear all the time, I could never, I could never be vegan. This is my one of my favorite stories. I have to tell it. So when my son was young, his friends would all come over, and one of his cute friends, and I won't say his name because he's older now and he'd kill me, but he came over and I had cut apples up for everybody, just apples. Mm-hmm. And he looks at me and he goes, oh, Miss... It's a funny thing. It's like, Miss Nancy, I'm not vegan, so I don't eat apples. And I'm like, oh, honey, that's just food.
Right.
And that's what I think the big thing is. I'm like, being vegan, it's the being vegan part is a lifestyle part, but the eating part of it is, we are not all eating fake food. We are eating whole foods. Yes, there is some, well, now there's a lot of fake food out there, and it can be helpful. And I don't, so, but I'm like, that's not the goal. And I'm like, it's just really our natural food. And when you find how great it tastes and how you can really combine these grains and these fruits and these veggies and tofu. And this is a thing with people, they don't believe me. I didn't eat tofu until 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I went vegan 17. I just ate the beans. I still was, I was like, okay, but tofu freaked me out. And then people, you go somewhere and you're like, I'll have the tofu, you think, and restaurants, they don't know how to cook it. You're like, what did you give me? Raw tofu? And then finally I made a tofu scramble and I was like, okay. And then I ate that for a while. And then I started baking it and then doing more things. And so that's a process. I didn't eat tempeh until a year ago. And now I can eat it raw. I kind of love it raw too.
Wow.
I know. So I'm saying, be open to your taste buds changing. They really do. I didn't eat sweet potatoes. I didn't, I'm like, I really was a junk food person. I was your standard American diet. Sad. If it had no flavor, no nutrients, that's what I ate. And I'm like, if I can do it, and now I'm cooking and now I'm showing people how to cook. It's crazy. so no, it's all possible. And just start where you are.
Yeah.
Right. Start where you are. Lean into it. Know your why. So you stay leaning and then just make progress like you were saying. And it really, it's a so good for your health and everything else. And then, like I said, if you have other goals, fine tune it with the macronutrients, learning that and maybe nutritional strategies. If that's not your goal, just stay healthy and stick with the whole foods,
Yeah. What are nutritional strategies?
Oh yeah. So nutritional strategy. I know I have thrown that out a lot. I should have. Is things like intermittent fasting, carb cycling, nutrient timing. These are nutritional strategies. Those are, when somebody has really gotten kind of doing their macronutrients and they, it could be when a woman will say has like that extra 5-10 pounds belly fat, like carb cycling can really help that. And that's where you manipulate kind of the amount of carbohydrates you eat every day. Your protein always stays the same, but you manipulate that. Nutrient timing can be what you eat around your workouts. And then intermittent fasting is basically the window of when you eat. So changing that window so you have more hours of the non-eating window and then fewer hours in the eating window. So all of those I call nutritional strategies, because your foundations are always going to be whole foods. So I always say your foundation should be mostly whole foods, 85% whole foods in your diet. We have to be real. We need that 15%, yeah. Right? And then you want rest and recovery. Then you want movement. You want daily good, like what you're doing, walking in a low steady state movement. Then you want strength training. Then you want your some kind of maybe hit one or two days a week, which is a 20-minute quick workout that raises your heart rate, brings it down. Then you can go into longer cardio, nutritional strategies, and things like that. Within the whole foods, the foundation of the whole foods, you have to create awareness somewhere. So you're either tracking or you're doing the plate method or something. So that falls up it within there.
Okay. That is also fascinating.
And that's just according to Nancy, but I've had hundreds of clients that it works for. And so, and it's all good. Like at the end of the day, it's just really focusing on, I always encourage everyone, just focus on health first, because, you know, when I first switched my career from real estate and said, this is what I want to go into, that was my focus, was health. But every woman I talked to, I mean, every single one was like, yeah, that's nice. But I got this weight to lose. And I related. I mean, I got it. Like, I'm like, that's exactly where I was. And so I was like, let me figure out how we focus on health and this, which is whole food nutrition. And then, you know, as you get going, also supplements do fall in there. Vegans, everybody needs supplements, but not as the top tier. They come in here to fill in the gaps.
Okay.
Where you need. And then, you know, so I think that's, and the same I say with hormone replacement therapy. If someone feels they need that, don't start there. Mm. Fix your lifestyle stuff first and then see, because if you just start with the band-aid of hormone replacement therapy, you may not actually know if it's benefiting you or not. So get your lifestyle stuff fixed first.
Yeah. That perfectly leads me into my next question, because there's definitely a lot of conversation, and I'm surprised to hear it even from people who I thought, even though they're not vegan, like I thought that they kind of got this soy and hormone thing. So first, I'd like for you to just maybe dispel that a little bit, this idea that soy, things like tofu, tempeh are actually dangerous for us women because of the hormones in it.
Yeah, that really, soy really, really, really took a bad hit, right? And everybody started avoiding it. Now research has come out over and over and over again. It's exactly just the opposite. So soy is not an estrogen, it's a phytoestrogen. Mm-hmm. So it mimics what estrogen does. It doesn't actually give you more estrogen. So it mimics. And so what we're finding is that, especially for menopausal women, the consumption of soy has decreased, like one of the top tier symptoms of menopause, hot flashes, by like 80%. Wow. It's also not causing the cancer that everybody said that it automatically was. I will caveat, I am not a doctor. Mm-hmm. And I would say to anybody that has a genuine concern, talk to your doctor, but also do your own research. Like do your own, be your own nutrition detective. I eat lots and lots and lots of soy. I know lots of people who do and no problems. And I'm not to say that for maybe a particular person, it might be one of those things, but it really, that myth has been dispelled, and soy actually is coming out as a very prominent player in helping to relieve menopausal symptoms. Mm. And you can go to Dr. Bernard with Physicians Committee, has Responsible Medicine, has done a lot of research on this. So I would recommend somebody go and read what he has to say.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and then make this is a thing I like to say when all the like things with nutrition come out. We always want to be our own detective because of the bio individuality. So anything like that, it's like, is it true? Like you do the research, and I don't mean Google research, like real research. Mm-hmm. Is it true? Most things you might find here or there. Then if you find there is some truth to it, the second question you always want to ask is it true for me? Mm. Like just because you're allergic to something is an allergen doesn't mean I'm going to be allergic to it. Just because that person thrives drinking lemon water in the morning doesn't mean I'm going to. You always want to know, like, any, like, there's the big thing with beans and grains. Don't eat them. Don't eat them. Like, they're a nature's staple.
Yeah.
So is it true? All right. There's probably some truth for some people. Is it true for you? Does it affect you in the way that these scientists are saying that it affects everybody?
Mm.
Probably not. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
And yeah. You can find out by tracking, right?
And you can find out. Yeah. And that's just honestly tracking how you respond to a food. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how the allergens do it. You remove something
right
for a length of time, and then you put the food back in. If you have a reaction, and you know how, whatever type of reaction might be, well, okay, then that was true for you. Mm-hmm. If you don't, it's not true. Say, like, gluten. Lots of people eat gluten and they have no problems. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking the celiacs. And then you have the gluten sensitivity. Okay, it affects them, but not everybody is right. gluten-free. In my one of the programs, we do talk about going gluten-free in the beginning, just to see if it's a reactor for you, because gluten can be a big inflammatory mm-hmm. for many people. So test it out. See if that it's an inflammatory for you. If not, don't worry about it.
Right. I love it.
But be your own detective. I'm not telling anybody not to or not to do. Be your own detective.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll make sure to link Dr. Barnard's info about soy into the show notes, so people don't have to dig for it. It'll be right there.
Yeah, he has so much great information. I really recommend, like, if somebody's leaning into plant-based vegan, they want to learn a lot. He really puts out a tremendous amount of information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mostly free too.
Right.
And it's great.
Yeah. Really valuable. So you mentioned before about this, like, don't go right to hormone replacement therapy, like, start. So I want to touch on that just a little bit. I want to be conscious of time too, but I want to touch on that a little bit. So what do we do if we aren't quite menopausal, and this is going to be very specific to people who experience periods and things, but what if we've been getting our period and then it stops for, like, months, but the last time we saw the doctor, they were like, I don't think you're there yet. How do we start to look at food instead of maybe putting ourselves in a position where we immediately start taking something to be like, this'll fix me? What can we do to look at food? And of course, with the caveat, you know, you're not a doctor and this is not you know, medical advice or anything, but just to give people some things to look into, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, absolutely. And so first, like, you know, perimenopause is that period where your period starts kind of becoming spotty, right? Like, I mean, you have your period and then maybe you don't have it a month and maybe you don't have it 3 months, but you always keep getting it again. And you're in, like, perimenopause, and perimenopause for most is, like, in their 40s. Mm-hmm. Menopause, I think what a lot of people don't understand, menopause is actually a moment in time. Mm-hmm. Menopause is really that moment when you haven't had a period for 12 months. Okay. That's menopause. Everything after that is technically postmenopause, but we just call it menopause, mm-hmm. you know, up until, you know, all these crazy symptoms kind of calm down. So the things you want to do whether you're perimenopause or even coming into menopause, before you say, I'm going to go get hormone replacement therapy, is ask yourself, am I eating really balanced? Am I eating mostly whole foods diet? Because processed foods interrupt our hormones are chemical messengers, right? They send the signals to everything. When we keep bombarding our bodies with processed foods and sodas and things like that, we're disrupting the chemical messengers. So let's get those in balance. Let's get those in sync. And that's, I'm just saying it, that's eating whole foods. And that really is, I think this is a really good time to understand your macronutrient profile and work on that. Mm. you know, start, maybe you have to start lean into maybe the first 3 weeks or a month, just practicing eating whole foods. But you can also work on your macronutrients at the same time. It just depends on the type of person you are and what your goal is. But I really think getting your macronutrients, understanding them, is going to help your thyroid, your all your other hormones, your sex hormones, your cortisol. It's just going to help it level out. Then your lifestyle factors, and this is your exercise. Start strength training. You know, everybody, like, that is going to help your muscles. That's going to help your body. And then do every day some type of, I call it steady state movement, like a good active 30 to 45 minutes of walking, jumping on a trampoline. Strength training you can do just for like, 3 times a week, but that helps your body burn fat. It helps burn off cortisol. It's real. I mean, strength training, muscles, and macros go together like this for fat loss, for hormone balance, for thriving. So you want to do, you know, your macronutrients, your strength training, your rest, work on your sleep, because this is a cycle. If you are not getting enough sleep, then you're usually higher stressed. You're making poor food decisions. So you really, sleep is paramount. Sleep is one of those foundations. You know, you want to strive for like 7 hours a night. If you can, I love it when they're like, try to get 9. I'm like, I don't know who's getting 9, but go for it. I'm like, I clock, you know, that sleep is, I get migraines. So sleep is one of those things that is kind of my, like, come on, sleep. You really want to work on your sleep, and you want to work on your stress. You know, again, stress and cortisol, and you just can't lose the weight. It's a hormone. Work on these things first. Then if you are still feeling really off, if you have really diligently worked on these and you're like, I'm not dropping the weight, I'm not this, then maybe you need hormone replacement therapy. But I have worked with so many women who have gone through the end of perimenopause and menopause with lifestyle factors alone, and they hardly missed a beat. You know, they didn't gain any. I went through it. I went through all completely. I didn't gain 1 pound. Wow. I didn't, nothing like that. It is possible. I'm not some unique person. It's because I have my lifestyle habits in order. Take care of yourself first before you go do that. And again, it's not that you may not need that. You know, and some people will say, well, Nancy, the problem is I don't have the energy to go do this because, you know, I'm in menopause. Well, I promise you, when you start eating better and you start moving better, your energy will increase. Yeah. It just does.
I haven't
had anybody that was like, that did not work. If it didn't work, it's because you didn't do it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason it didn't work. And so just start there. Start there and, you know, get, you know, now I will say you might need supplements. So in that case, if you want to go to a doctor, get a nutritional profile before you get the hormones. Get a nutritional profile, find out what you might really have big gaps in, and supplements can help. So I don't foo-foo that, but again, don't take supplements and then eat at Burger King.
Right.
And McDonald's all day. Like, don't do that. Yeah. Pizza. Like, that's not how it works. You have to fix yourself.
Yeah.
I'm just a huge proponent of it. And I really, after both James and Peter passed away, that is really what stuck with me, was that, one, you may think on the outside everything is fine, but you don't know what's going on the inside. And then, two, nobody is coming to rescue any of us. If we want something different, we have to really work for it. And that includes our health. And that means being our own advocate for what we want and doing the things that we need to do and giving ourselves grace. It doesn't mean you go from 0 to 60 overnight. like give yourself lots of grace, but work on it because it's important. And I say it's important because you are important. Every individual is important and we need everybody. And so that's my message.
Yeah.
You need your health because the world needs you. Yes. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's true. But yeah, but with hormones, do that first. And there's a huge difference. Like it really is amazing how you feel, everything, the energy, it's all good.
So good. Nancy,
yeah. Honestly, if you're not 50 and you're like, oh, she doesn't work with women until they're 50. I'm telling you, I work with a lot of women in their 40s, but start in your 40s because you will then be really set up for when menopause hits. But a lot of the symptoms do start, like you were mentioning, in the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, I'll admit there have been some questions peppered in here that were, you know, for me as well, not just listeners. Nancy, this has been amazing, and I could talk to you all night long. There are a zillion more questions, but I've got one final question for you.
Yes.
Tell me about your favorite hummus or your favorite way to eat hummus.
Oh my God. So first of all, I was going to say, I just made my own cauliflower hummus, which the little recipe's coming out tomorrow. I've hired my son to help me with my video and that's a journey. It was delicious. And my husband doesn't eat cauliflower and he ate it. So I just made cauliflower hummus, which was absolutely fabulous. My other favorite hummus is the chili lime hummus that I make using the chili lime seasoning from Trader Joe's.
Okay.
And it's delicious. And if I'm buying a store-bought hummus, there's one that I think it's, oh my God, supremely spicy, I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But we love hummus. We love hummus is the one thing that I always laugh at. I go, hummus is the one that gets me with the tracking because I want to think an entire container is one tablespoon.
Yep.
And it is not.
It's not. Sadly, it is not.
So my cauliflower hummus is coming out tomorrow.
Awesome. And,
but it was very, very good. It's very easy. It was so easy to make. It was crazy. And it was delicious. And you got a little extra dose of nutrients.
Oh, I love it. So will that be on your website where I can link it into the show notes for everybody?
Yeah, it'll be on my Instagram and my YouTube. Yeah, I'll have it. I'll send it to you once I have it linked up.
Yeah.
Video quality, I'm just say, please give a hall pass.
Of course.
Trying to hire my son. Okay. But yes, must love hummus. I was like, oh, check mark.
So happy.
I mean, I really, when people are like, don't like hummus, I'm like,
have you ever had hummus? Cause there's no way you don't.
There's no way. Like it's on everything. Hummus is good on everything.
It is. I know. It's like, it replaces mayo. It's like you dip everything in it and.
Make wraps with it. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Now they have chocolate hummus. I've never made that.
I've never made it either.
I haven't had it or made it, but maybe.
Nancy, thank you so, so much. All of your contact info and your links to your social media and your website will be in the show notes so people can link right to you and get in touch. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Me too.
Yay.
Welcome back. Can we first talk about how powerful stories and their accompanying pictures are? Both Nancy and I went vegetarian overnight after reading an issue of PETA's Animal Times magazine. And if you listened to episode 69 with Christine Cookmania, you heard how that magazine was part of her story too. Never doubt that sharing stories, either your own or that of others, can empower people to make positive change in their lives too. Some takeaways from this episode. Own your individual journey. Assess how you got to the point where you were ready to make a change and solidify your why. Focus on health first. If weight loss is also part of your plan, trust that it will come as you focus on your health. Create awareness. You can only assess how you're progressing towards your goal if you have the data. I recorded this episode with Nancy at the end of December, where JP and I had been walking pretty much daily for about 2 weeks. This episode is going live on February 12th, and we're still going strong with daily walks. I've also incorporated daily yoga, and we actually started tracking our food. I'm feeling better and noticing all of the ways I'm getting stronger every day. To connect with Nancy, visit her website, nancyleadsgribble.com. Follow her on Instagram and Facebook at Nancy Leads Gribble, and you can find her on YouTube at Nancy Leads Gribble 801. You'll find these links as well as the link to Nancy's cauliflower hummus in the show notes. I hope you found this episode helpful and inspiring. Please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're loving it, please give Did You Bring the Hummus a 5-star rating and leave a review. It's an easy way to keep supporting the show. Be sure to share these episodes with your friends. If you're finding something good here, they will too. If you're a vegan or know a vegan who would be a great fit for the podcast, follow the Be a Guest link in the show notes. Fill out the quiz and I'll be in touch. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Did You Bring the Hummus, and visit my website, didyoubringthehummus.com, for more information about me, updates on what I'm working on, new podcast episodes, and all things vegan. Finally, I would love to hear from you. What do you need help with? Is there a topic you want to hear covered on a future episode? DM me on Instagram or send me an email at didyoubringthehummus@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.